Good morning, church.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath, Shelbyville. And we welcome all those who are listening on the radio and watching on the internet today. And we thank you for tuning in. And we hope that because of the change we've made in our camera use, that things will be much clearer and better in the presentations. And as we begin here today, I'd like to invite you to pray with me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings to us. And today as we open your word, we need your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and to bless us with this spoken word. And so we're praying that your spirit would be here to attend to the needs of each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this prayer that Peter was praying, I think, is probably the one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, where Peter is crying out, "Lord, save me." I think of a time years ago when I was pastoring in the Vincennes, Washington, Bloomfield district that I was in. And I was traveling from Vincennes Church over to the Washington Church, which was an hour's ride. And I was getting close to the church, probably within 10 miles. And I crossed over a railroad track, and the tie rod end of my car broke. And the two front wheels went in two different directions. And I was traveling about 55 miles an hour when that happened. A dump truck was coming towards me, and I didn't have time for a long, flowery prayer. I just had to be like Peter here, just a short prayer, "Lord, help me." And there was two pastors sitting on the front porch of their of the house visiting with each other, and they were the pastors of the local church in that area. And they told me afterwards, "We thought you were going to die," because they could see the wheels just going like that. And luckily, and I praise God for this today, as I have many times in the past, that an angel of the Lord, I believe, took my car and just moved it off to the side of the road into the gravel. And it could have gone the other way, head on into that dump truck that was loaded with dirt. The Lord spared my life that day, and I just praise God for that. And I believe that when we have prayers and short prayers in an emergency type situation like Peter was faced here in Matthew chapter 14, I believe that God is able to deliver us from all of those situations that we're faced with. Peter offered this prayer in a moment of distress that he was in. You look here in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 14 that we had for our scripture reading, beginning in verse 29, it says, "And he said, Come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous or strong, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out to the Lord, saying, Lord, save me." Well, how many times have you prayed prayers like that when you've had distress in your life, when you've had situations that you needed God to help you right now? It wasn't time for you to pray this long, flowery prayer. You just had to speak to the Lord from your heart in a short way to be able to get an answer. The prayer of a penitent thief that was on the cross next to Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 23, verse 42, the thief there was saying to Jesus, who was hanging on the cross beside him, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It was just a short prayer before he was losing his life. I believe that the father of a demon-possessed child offered a very short prayer as well. You look in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, the father said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Short little prayers, but they were concise and to the point. And they knew exactly what they needed, and they gave that request to the Father of Heaven. Our Lord favored short prayers. He liked them short. You know, that something that the Pharisees used to do would stand on the corner in their flowery robes, and they would have somebody with them blowing a trumpet to get everybody's attention, and then they would have these long, flowery prayers in front of everybody to show how spiritual, how godly they were. And Jesus talked about that often. And Jesus himself offered short prayers in public. And you look in John chapter 11 at verse 41 and 42, we can see what Jesus was doing with short prayers. John chapter 11 and verse 41 and 42. It says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Just a short prayer to the Father of Heaven, giving an acknowledgement that his Father always heard him, and that he was praying this short prayer to the Father in heaven. Jesus liked these short prayers, and I believe in private prayers. You know, there's times when I would have a long day, and I would come home at night tired. I'd kneel down beside my bed, and I would start praying, and I would wake up 45 minutes later with my knees hurting terribly bad, my legs asleep, because I had fallen asleep in praying. And there is a time in our private prayers where we can pray prayers as long as we want to. That's okay. But when we're speaking in private, it's time for short prayers. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do, is to have our public prayers to be always short and brief and to the point. We should confine them to the interest of the public or the people that we're praying with. And there, of course, should be exceptions to this occasion, such as dedication to a church or to a school, some specific program that we have. Sometimes those prayers can be a little bit longer, but short prayers in a congregation, I think, are proper. There have been times when I've been at churches where prayers lasted a long time, and I've had people in my congregations that have often said to me, because of their health issues, they couldn't kneel down for a long time, or it was really uncomfortable for them to be in a position of prayer for a long period of time when people were praying. And so I think it's important for us to have these short prayers, and lengthy prayers can be tiresome. It can be difficult. It can be strenuous for people to have to be in a position of prayer for a long period of time, especially if there's some health issues involved in that. I think back of a time a number of years ago when we were having an ordination for a pastor, and his father was the one who was offering the ordination prayer. All the pastors were gathered together on the platform. We were all kneeling around this pastor and putting our hands, you know, on this person. And the father was saying the prayer, and I kind of liken it to when, you know, a plane comes in for a landing, and he starts to come in for the touchdown, and then he zooms back up and circles around the field, comes back, starts to come in for a landing, and zooms back up and circles around the field. Well, this went on for about a half hour. I had cramps in my legs so bad, I didn't think I was going to be able to stand up when it was over. And just when I thought the man was going to stop praying, he'd start praying again. And this went on for such a long time. It was, and this is what I'm referring to, is that those kind of long prayers are not appropriate in those kind of situations. And I think our prayers should be concise and to the point. Lengthy prayers, they just make our thoughts scatter. Have you ever had somebody be praying a long prayer and you just kind of doze off? You got your eyes closed, and next thing you know, you're almost asleep. And I believe that we need to keep our prayer short when we're praying in public. And the words that we speak sometimes, no matter how lengthy and flowery they may be, they don't always give honor to God in the way that we speak it. We just kind of ramble on. We ought to write. I remember years ago when Linda and I left the Baptist Church and joined the Adventist Church, a couple of years after we became members at the church voted for me to become an elder. And the head elder asked me to, since I had never prayed in public before, he said, go home and write out a short prayer and practice that, read it over through the week. And I was kind of nervous the first time that I'd ever prayed in front of the church. And I remember during worship, we knelt down for our worship prayer, and I had the paper in my hand, and I had read it so many times, and I was so nervous, I forgot to look at the paper that was in my hand, and I just prayed from my heart. And I think that's what God expects from every one of us. Whether we're praying long prayers in private or short prayers in public, I think God wants us to speak to him from our heart about specific issues that we're facing. And I believe that those prayers need to be short, concise, and to the point. And I can really appreciate short prayers. But when I'm listening to somebody pray and my back is feeling like it's breaking, or my knees are getting pain in them, or I've got cramps in my leg because of that, I think the prayer has gone way too far, and we lose the audience at times. And I think that God wants us to pray, but he wants us to be appropriate in how we do that. We want to be respectful to people around us. And so I just want to encourage you, and you may think that this doesn't apply to you, but maybe you're being asked to pray for your meal at Thanksgiving with your family and friends. Maybe it's some other event that you're having and your family or friends want you to pray because they know you're a Christian. Those events are times when you can pray and lift up the Lord, pray for the event of whatever it is, but make it short and concise and to the point. And we need to look into this issue of prayer. Peter, his short prayer meant the saving of his life from instant death by drowning. He didn't have time to pray a prayer that sounded like he was preaching a sermon. He had time to pray, Lord, save me. And that's all he had time for. And I believe that the tax collector that Jesus dealt with, it meant acceptance of a merciful God. You look with me here in Luke chapter 18, at verse number 13. Here in this particular situation, the tax collector is praying, and he says here in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't have time for a long prayer. He just wanted God to help him. Here in this situation, he knows where he stands with God. And his request to God was that God would make an atonement for him and be merciful to him and save him. Short prayers are appropriate. And I believe that sometimes we don't pray enough. In fact, Ellen White said in one of her writings, she said that we speak too much and pray too little. Do you think that's true? And I think that's true in our private life sometimes, that we oftentimes get busy doing so many different things, we don't have time to actually pray. And we speak in groups sometimes about all kinds of issues, but we spend such little time in prayer. And there'd be much more power in our life. There would be much more blessing in our families. There would be much more witnessing going on in our community. There'd be more blessing in our churches if we spent more time praying and less time talking. And I think the reason we don't get the blessing is because we have not spent the time with the Lord that God wants us to have with Him. And because of that, we miss out on all of the blessings that God wants to give to us. How much more powerful would the Word of God go out throughout this community? How much more blessing would this church receive? How much more blessing would our families receive if we spent more time lifting up the Lord in our homes and in our communities and in our churches? We come to church, we spend an hour together, we zip on home, we forget all about what took place here. You ask somebody at the end of the week, what did your pastor preach about? Let me think a minute. Oh, he preached about sin. Can't think of anything else. You forget the sermon. But listen, friends, if we don't spend time in prayer, we don't have this connection between us and God. We don't have this connection that God wants to have so He can pour out His blessings upon us. I want to encourage you to spend time speaking to God as a friend in your life, just like you would spend on FaceTime or on the telephone or on Snapchat, whatever you use. The time that you spend speaking to somebody else in your family or your friends is time that you could be spending with God. What if you could just get on your phone on Snapchat and call up God? Wouldn't that be neat? I think that'd be so wonderful. I don't know how to do Snapchat, but I tell you, if I could get God on there, I'd learn real quick how to do that, because I really would like to see God face to face. But you know, we have this advantage in our life as a Christian that we can actually close our eyes and kneel down before God, and we can have His presence with us through His Holy Spirit as we speak to Him. We don't have to have Snapchat or Facebook or Twitter or some of those other things. We have a direct connection with our Father in heaven through prayer. Isn't that great? It's a privilege that we have as Christians. And many people miss out on that because they do not spend enough time speaking to God privately in their prayers. David, I believe, in his ideal of what took place in his life, this idea of forgiveness, David knew that he had to have God in his life, and he knew that he had to be able to speak to God personally to be able to get forgiveness. Look with me here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, at verse number 13. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, at verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. So this was just David's recognition, his confession, his request, I guess, of God to forgive him of his sin. It was short and to the point. And I believe that that's what God wants us to pray, is those kind of prayers when we're confronted with issues in our life that will bring glory to God and that will bring relief to us. God knows our thoughts. He knows what we need. Before we ever speak it, God understands exactly what we have in mind. And he knows how to deal with that. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, it says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." He hears us not because of a multitude of words that we speak, not because our prayers are crafted in such a way that they seem so flowery. It's God wanting us to speak to him from our heart, and God knows exactly what we need before we speak it. And he just wants to hear his children speak to him in a personal, private, friendly way, because he is our friendly God. Poor organization sometimes causes us to ramble in our thoughts, and it causes us to not be able to speak precisely to God. Long prayers are often ulterior motives to be able to get some other thought across. I've heard people preach long prayers, and it sounds more like a sermon than it did a prayer to God. And you can wear out the patience of the saints with those kind of prayers. The prayers that are offered in public should be short and to the point, is what Ellen White says in Gospel Workers, page 175. Paragraph 1. They should be short. They should be to the point. They should do exactly what we want them to do, and that's to go straight to God's throne to get an answer. Short prayers are in many instances, I think, an indication that our thoughts are not clear, that we haven't organized our thoughts properly. We haven't gotten it together like we should. You know, and I think if we spent more time thinking about how are we going to approach God and how are we going to speak to him, our thoughts would be much clearer. I think our prayers would be more succinct. They would be more to the point. They would ask God exactly what is on our heart. And I believe that we need to spend some time thinking about that. It's okay to ramble when we're in a long prayer privately. We could just go from point to point, go on and on. But you know, sometimes those get so disorganized that we don't even know how to pray. And oftentimes, we need to spend some time thinking about what is the needs that I really need to bring before God? What is it that I need to ask him and petition him for? And we need to think about that clearly so that we can present this to God in a way that makes sense. And I know that when we pray, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers, no matter how feeble they are sometimes, and he makes them sound appropriate and before God. But it'd be nice if we'd be able to speak those kind of words ourselves in a way that is not confusing. And I just hope that we think about what prayer is supposed to be like. The Spirit of God is our helper in prayer. He helps us to think about what our real needs are. And he's also taking our prayers and sending them up to God in a way that is acceptable before the God of heaven. And when we think about prayer, we think about how God can hear what we have to say. But if our thoughts are so jumbled up, it might even be a little hard for God to sort it all out. So we need to be able to get some clarity in our own mind. What is it that we're really asking God to do? And when we come into the congregation, when we have Sabbath school classes, or when we have worship, our prayer should be short, concise, and to the point. And they should lift up the Lord in glory, and they should also speak to God about the needs that our congregation have. So I hope and pray that as you think about prayer in your own personal life, as you think about what God is wanting us to speak about and how we want God to interact with us, I hope that we will take time to be able to speak to him in a way that will make it appropriate for him to be able to hear us. There are times when our private prayers can be long. And I want to take you to a prayer that Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 9. And this is a prayer that maybe is a prayer that we could pray sometime on our own. But you look at Daniel and how he prayed with God. It says in the scriptures here that Daniel prayed three times a day, morning, afternoon, and night. And he had a direct communication with God. And in Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, we see Daniel having this prayer in his experience with God. And beginning in verse number 1 here in Daniel 9, it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of this reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to keep them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all of Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee, O Lord, to us belong confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To our Lord, our God, belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the God, the Lord of our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him, and he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not done as much as hath been done upon Jerusalem. And as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, and yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, and as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O Lord our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear, and hear, and open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by the name, by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." What a prayer. I mean, we could learn a lot from that prayer that Daniel has prayed. And this was not a public prayer. This was his private prayer that he's praying at his home. And he poured out his heart before God. He remembered all of the great things that God had done. He said that there had never been so many blessings poured out upon anybody as it had been poured out upon the children of Israel. And he recalls all the blessings that God had given to them, bringing them out of Egypt. And he poured out his heart to God for forgiveness for himself and for his people. These are the kind of prayers that we could pray in private. But when we pray in public, they should be short, concise, and to the point. And I pray that as we think about how we can approach God and how we can speak to him privately, that we can pour out our hearts to him and we can get the answers to our prayers that we have requested of God. May we learn how to properly pray to God and to be able to request from him those things that we want so we can have this kind of connection. And I pray that every one of us will spend time speaking to God and have this connection with God that Daniel has here in this prayer. And I know that we sometimes get busy in life, and we oftentimes forget about prayer. We don't give it a second thought sometimes. You know, life doesn't go very well when we're not spending time with God. Things happen in life, but things happen a lot better when we're spending time with God. And I want to encourage all of you, whether you're here in this church or you're listening on the internet or on the radio today, I pray that you will be able to spend time with God in your own personal prayer life so that God can give you that richest blessing that He wants to give to you. And may we have that connection with God today.